Good morning. Besides being the Lord's Day, this is the day that we celebrate our moms. We ought to do that every day, but especially this day. And let's face it, our mothers do much for us. They turn a house into a home. They mend our wounds. They console us when we face disappointment. They cheer us when we do something well. And they keep our stomachs full. If your mom is anything like my mom was, you were taught a lot. I call them momisms. They may sound familiar. Always wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Don't sit too close to the TV or you're going to go blind. Don't cross your eyes because they may stick that way. If all your friends jumped off a bridge, would you do that too? You'll understand when you have kids of your own. I brought you into this world and I can take you out of this world. Eat your carrots. They'll help you see in the dark. Better stop crying or I will give you something to cry about. Don't go outside with wet hair or you'll catch pneumonia. I like this one, and it happened often. Just wait till your father gets home. Close the door. Were you born in a barn? If you swallow gum, it's going to stay in your stomach for 7 years. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And those were the ones that kind of sort of made sense. Others, not so much. Like, shut your mouth and eat your dinner. Look at the dirt on the back of your neck. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are out here. And I'm not a mom. I'm a dad. It's different being a mom than being a dad. And no matter how much dads do, and many dads are doing more than their fathers did, moms still carry the burden of raising children. All parents have experienced the pressures of trying to keep the children busy in sports and creative activities. And even today, moms now are homeschooling their children. And in addition to all the activities, parents want their children to be happy. They want to be well-adjusted. And as Christians, we want our children to be raised up in the ways of the Lord. And all of that's not easy. So much of child rearing is done by the mother, and it produces a great deal of stress. But there's some additional reasons that being a mother is tougher now than perhaps it was before. Let me give you a few of them. Number one is this. There is a breakdown of the family. More moms are raising children alone. There are approximately 7.3 million single moms in the United States raising children that are under 18 years old. That's 80% of the household. That's one in five children. That's roughly 14 million kids being raised without a father. A second reason why it's hard to be a mom today is there's increased mobility. In recent years, approximately 7.8% of Americans, that's about 25.87 million people, have relocated annually within the United States. What does that mean for moms? It's no longer true, perhaps, that your mother or your grandmother are readily available to help these new moms navigate through the stages of motherhood. And so they have to depend upon friends. And sometimes when you move, it takes a long time to find friends who are in a similar stage of life. And the third reason, the high cost of living. And now it takes two incomes to make the family budget work. Listen to this. Among married two-parent couples with children under 18, 67% of those couples have both parents employed in the year 2023, the latest I could find numbers for. But we're just talking about moms today. 74% of all mothers with children under the age of 18 are working, whether they're single, whether they're married, or whether they're divorced. Three-fourths, all women are working that have kids. And now think about this. In the year 2023, again, the latest numbers that I could find, 3.6 million babies were born in the United States that year. But that same year, 3.09 million deaths occurred. That's why your President Trump wants to give you gals a $5,000 baby bonus if you'll just have a baby. And that's a nice idea. But the long-term cost, they say, of raising a child in America to age 18 is about $250,000. And that sure is stressful. So what does all of that mean to a mother? Does it mean that if you were a mother earlier on, it was easier than it is for a modern mother today? Yes, it's true that there are a lot of social realities that you experience today that earlier motherhood didn't have to experience, but nevertheless, it has always been stressful. And there have been many desperate mothers. So with that, I want to take a little bit of time this morning to look at the life of three mothers of the Old Testament. Each in their own way had a crisis. Each realized that being a mother was tough. And each found a way to get through it. And in their story, I think there's a lesson for mothers today, how to deal with the pressures of becoming a mom. And the first mom I want to look at is Eve. We all know about Eve, found over in the book of Genesis. Particularly, I'm looking at chapter 4. She was the first mother. In fact, that name Eve means living. She would give life, you could say, to the human race. Truly, she's the mother of all. But what did she have to deal with? Eve was desperate in grief. Think about it. She knew desperation. She carried the weight of being the first person, the first human to sin. A burden of guilt that only could be lifted by God's forgiveness. But sorrow must have deepened when her son Cain slew her other son, his brother Abel. You remember the story. So the grief of losing a child caused by another one of your children has to be unimaginable. And there were no other women for support. Just Adam. No shoulder to cry on, no one to talk to. Maybe that spared her of what judgment may have been today if something like that happened, when people would whisper, what kind of mother raises a son who becomes a murderer? Many mothers still face guilt and doubt, and they question themselves when their children struggle, especially under the glare of other people's criticism and opinions. God sees, God knows, God comforts, just as he must have comforted Eve. So mothers, take heart. Even in your lowest moments, you are not alone. Henry Cloud, in his book, Boundaries with Children, and all of his books are great books for children, he tells a story about his own mother during a tough period of his family's life. He writes this. When I was 4 years old, I came down with a leg disease that left me bedridden, then in a wheelchair and then in braces and on crutches for 2 years. I went overnight from a very active child to one with a serious disability. My doctor told my parents it was imperative that they make me do things for myself and not spoil my character by doing everything for me. I remember an incident at church when my parents were making me go up a long flight of stairs on my crutches. I was struggling, and it was taking a long time. but they were prodding me on. I stumbled, I got redirected, I continued on, one slow step at a time. I'm sure it was painful to watch. And then suddenly, from behind us, I heard a woman say to her husband, "Can you believe those parents are making that child do that?" I don't remember what my parents said. But years later, I wondered how my mother did it. And one of the most caring people I know, she is also one of the most caregiving, the kind who has difficulty making the dog go outside in the rain. I can only imagine what it was like for her to let a crippled child struggle through things she could have helped with. So years later, I asked her, "You are one of the most codependent people I know," I said. "How in the world did you let me suffer through what I had to suffer through without rescuing me?" "Emmett," she cried. "Emmett?" I asked. "Yes, Emmett. Every day when I had to do something I just could not face doing, I would call Emmett, cry my eyes out, listen to her tell me that I had to do it. She would help me through it each time. It was awful." Emmett was my mother's best friend, wonderful Christian woman. What my mother discovered was that by herself she could not do what was required of her, but with support she could. She was being built up, supported by someone who understood. Criticism can crush a mother's spirit. But Eve didn't hear it from others. They weren't around. She likely heard it from her. Imagine the burden, the first to sin, and then to watch one son murder the other. How did she survive such pain? The answer was she clung to God. Just as she said at the birth of her child, and you can find it in Genesis 4, verse 1, "With the help of the Lord," she said, she walked through the grief by trusting in him. And when she bore another son, you can find it in verse 25 of Genesis 4. It says, "God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." She mourned, but she accepted God's gift of new life. To every grieving mother, God is still with you. Even after loss, he brings life through you, whether that's through another child, through love poured into others, through hope shared with the hurting. You still have life to give. Let's look at a second desperate mother this morning. Jochebed. She was desperate for protection. You remember her, Jochebed, the mother of Moses? She shows us what it means to protect a child in desperate times. You can find that story in Exodus chapter 2. She lived as a Hebrew slave in Egypt. She was overworked. She was oppressed. She was powerless. Worse still, Pharaoh had just decreed that every Hebrew baby boy was to be killed at birth. Can you imagine what she may have feared when she found out that she was pregnant? And what she feared when she discovered that she had a son? But Jochebed knew that all life is precious, given by the Lord, whether it's a boy or a girl, and encouraging in faith, she hid Moses. It says for 3 months, and then she gently placed him in a basket on the Nile River, trusting that God will do what God can do, because she was no longer in control. And God provided. Pharaoh's daughter found the baby. And Jochebed, his own mother, was called to nurse the baby. God gave her a son back, and now he's under royal protection. The lesson? When we've done all we can to protect and to guide our children, sometimes we have to trust and release them to God. Like floating a child down the river into the unknown. We've got to trust that God will place the right people in their lives to guide them, to protect them, to help them grow. And as parents, we continue to pray that even when our children are far off, that there will sometimes be someone there that can help our child. I can tell you as parents, Tricia and I, we prayed. We continue to pray for our children, for our grandchildren. And when we released our children off to college, we were desperate parents, feeling like we were just floating our kids down a dangerous path in the world. God has, and we trust will continue to use other people to care for our kids. And you may well be one of those that has been called on by God to help someone else's children. If Eve teaches us how to grieve and to trust, then Jochebed shows us how to protect and to release. But now let's turn to the third mother. Her name was Hannah. She models how to have hope even when waiting feels endless. Hannah was desperate with longing. A woman that was brokenhearted. Not because she lost a child, but because she couldn't have a child. The story is found over in 1 Samuel, the first chapter. And there we see her crying out to God. She wanted a child so desperately that she made a vow. In verse 11 it says, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life." Hannah was not just heartbroken. If you read the story, she was always humiliated in her time. If you were barren, that was a shameful thing, and to make matters worse, she was constantly being provoked by her husband's other wife, who had many children and mocked her relentlessly. So instead of lashing out and giving up, Hannah poured her heart out to God. And when God answered her prayer, she followed through. And she gave her son Samuel back to the Lord. Her prayer after giving him up shows what was in her heart. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." And if you look down at verse 3, it says, "Talk no more so very proudly, for the Lord is the God of knowledge." She named her son Samuel, meaning heard by God, because her desperation had been met with divine mercy. So what can we learn from her? Desperation will find us all. I don't care whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a friend, or whether you're a child. When it does, we have to do what Hannah did. We have to turn to God, not to some self-pity, not to some scheme. In Psalm 78, verse 9, as it records in the New International Version, it says, "May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need." And in Psalm 142, verse 6 in the NIV, it says, "Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need." Motherhood is hard. It will sometimes bring tears, sacrifice, sometimes deep longing, but it also brings blessing. And in all of it, we are reminded that God hears the cries of those that are desperate. Don't forget to let motherhood be the blessing that God intended it to be. So whether you need immediate help or whether you need long-term support, turn to the Lord. The scripture supports that he will help you. And don't forget that help can also include other people who will help you, as well as the Lord. We've seen three desperate moms: Eve, who grieved a child she lost, and Jochebed, who feared for a child she couldn't protect, and Hannah, who longed for a child she didn't have. Each of these women were desperate, but not alone. Each of these mothers were broken, but not abandoned. Each of them was needing to cry out, and God answered. Mothers, your role is hard. I commend you. Sometimes it comes with heartbreak, again, sacrifice, sometimes moments of sheer desperation. But in every season, God is with you. He's not distant. He sees your tears, hears your prayers, responds with comfort, provision, sometimes through people, sometimes through peace, but always with his presence. And to all of us, whether you're a mother or whether you're a dad or whether you're not either, then life overwhelms, the promise of God still stands. In Isaiah 66, verse 13, it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So if you find yourself in a desperate place today, don't run from God, run to God. Let him comfort you. Let him carry you. Let him do for you what he did for Eve, for Jochebed, and for Hannah. And if you haven't responded to his love, come to him in faith, repent of your sins, confess that you believe that he is the Christ, be baptized to wash away your sins, and then to go live the life of great blessing that he offers to you. Come if you will, as we stand and sing.